On today's show, we had the big exclusive. We had Prince Charles talking about the new royal baby.
Yeah, I went between the sheets and introduced you boys to some very unusual animal foreplay.
And I am back, the former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. Get ready for the catch-up. Here it comes.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Ah, yes, we thought the most exciting thing that could happen in this country was that Meghan and Harry arriving yesterday for
their Australian tour.
Oh, no. Those folders that she was holding so interestingly across her belly was in fact hiding a baby because it's been announced overnight that she is pregnant.
All right, she's pregnant. What was all the business about those purple folders when they arrived?
Well, that's what I mean. Folders. She was. They were.
What to expect when you're expecting?
No.
the A4 size book.
Well, one person who may know, and he of course is thrilled, is our very own UK correspondent from the palace, Prince Charles. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Robin Bailey. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. I know you're a royalist and hello to you, Marto. And Ben Dickwood, filling in today with Brendo. And our thoughts go out to Brendo. Hello, Brendo. Of course, you too, Moon Man.
What do you think? I see the bookmakers, and that's always where I cast my eye first. They've got Diana on the top rung of betting for the name, even if it's a male, I believe. is that being rude to you?
Well, no, of course, no disrespect. Diana, of course, was my good lady wife for some time. We had some marital problems. I was stomping Camilla behind her back. And it created a little bit of tension. But, of course, we all grieve her passing and remember her fondly.
Okay, well, how are you feeling about the announcement of the royal baby and the fact that the royal couple are in Sydney?
I'm thrilled to bits. This is going to be my fourth grandchild? Yes. Hold on, what are we up to?
Yes. George, Charlotte, Louis, this will be
I had a big one last night on the Chambord with Mummy, so I'm a little bit hungover today. She smashes it like a champion, as your Australians would say.
Now, wedding on the weekend, it was your niece's wedding. How'd that go? That was a big
little
affair.
Brother, Andrew and Fergie's child, Eugenie, married Jack, and it was lovely. We were all there, and it was nice to be back in the chapel in Windsor, where Harry and Meghan most recently married.
How do you handle all the women's magazines speculating wild stories and rumours? Do you read any of them when you go, that's not true?
I read them all.
Yeah, you do.
I get them all delivered daily. Women's Day, Women's Weekly. I flick through them, go, well, that's bulldust. What a load of crap. NW Magazine, Who, Hello. I spend nearly every day going through women's magazines. And if there's a nice picture of me, I cut it out and put it in my scrapbook, which is 7,000 pages long.
But Charlie, just quickly, I mean, what was going on with Fergie and the Queen?
Charles.
You're royal highness.
Sorry, Prince Charles.
He's looking for someone to replace Camilla too.
I've had my eye on you,
Robin Bailey.
Yeah, I bet you have.
I like the cut of your jib.
Yeah, we both got the same ear size.
What was the question?
It was about Fergie and the Queen, because this was the first time she was brought back into the royal fold. I just wondered if there was any catfighting going on behind the scenes.
Mummy hates Fergie, always has, always will, but I think Fergie's terrific fun. I particularly loved the toe sucking incident. Do you remember that? Who doesn't love a toe sucker? I've been trying to get Camilla to suck my toes for years, but the toenails are quite long.
anything else, sir? Have we
bit
missed
of shock
anything?
Caught in behind the toenail there.
Okay, great.
So we've got that enough. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Whip.
Thank you, Prince Charles.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Warning, the following segment contains serious, sexy talk and music from Kenny G.
Between the Sheets with Robin Bailey.
Okay, I came to this one in rather an interesting way. I was at the gym across the weekend and I was on my phone catching up on iView and I got to Arndo's Brush with Fame on the ABC.
I've seen that one. I watch it every week.
Okay, so the one with Terry Irwin, which I found really fascinating. It was the first one of this season. But she said something about the first time that she met Steve Irwin that sent me on a chase for weird and wonderful animal facts and sex.
What'd she say?
Here's what she said about...
And you're doing this at the gym.
Yeah, I'm doing this
at the gym. So you're on a cross trainer and you've just pumped into Google weird animal sex.
Well, let me just set the scene with Terry Irwin.
They were doing a crocodile show, and this guy was in with these crocodiles, and he was talking about them in ways that I never really thought of crocodiles. And he said, they're also very passionate lovers. And I thought, now there's something I wouldn't attribute to a crocodile. But he said the male is very attentive to the female, sometimes for hours before mating takes place. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Crocodiles have figured out foreplay. That's good. For them.
Only if a crocodile can do it.
Bit of crocky foreplay.
Crocs are as desperate as human males. So, but everyone's keen until it happens.
Yeah, well, foreplay is terrific. Australian foreplay is, are you awake, love?
But it would seem that as I was Googling through the animal kingdom, there are animals that are doing far more weird and wonderful things than just that. Let's start with the humble dolphin. The dolphin that we see come into Tangalooma and that we pat them. The male dolphins get involved in some various taboo sex, including finding electric eels, which then they wrap around their own members, giving them an electric shock, which will stimulate them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. How good's that?
Hold on.
How do you find an electric eel just to wrap around hands. Your old fella?
How do they get them?
I don't know. They must tease them into position and off they go.
Or you just hook them.
I don't know.
Excuse me, eel, are you busy this evening? Because I'm on a hot day with the missus.
Is that like Viagra? Does it sizzle them up?
It is like Viagra. It gets them all engaged and off they go. Then we can move on to the short-nosed fruit bat.
Oh, what are they up to?
Well, these guys, they use leaves to erect a makeshift house, which they then use as a brothel, where interact with numerous different females. They have some pretty kinky stuff going on.
Hold on, one male builds a house and then ships them all in.
Yeah, says, come on in, honey. Let's have a bit of a go.
What? Fruit? I thought they just hung on branches, things down near Downey Park.
No. And then they have a rather kind of...
Because the traditional fruit bat, if a human's doing the fruit bat, imp up through the penis, it's just stretching your gear and jumping off the wardrobe.
No, these guys, they have quite ritualistic things that they do in their brothels. They start by licking one another, and that shows some interest. Then they'll engage with some pretty straightforward stuff. But if the woman's not interested, then she might turn to another female bat that's waiting in line.
Female bat.
Fence jumper.
What, and say you can have him?
Yep. And then when the male is finished, he makes sure he cleans himself off.
They're clean.
So that then he can go and build another house in another tree and attract more bats to his brothel.
Who researches those? All those boring people at uni.
And so how many K's are you into the treadmill now? You're in the gym just like
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Time to go to New York. Why would we go there? Because our former Prime Minister and very good friend of the show, with his look at Australian politics and the whole of Australia, Malcolm Turnbull, morning, sir.
Concrete jungle where dreams are made of. There's nothing you can't do now. You're in New York.
Sir.
Hello, sir.
So we're here, Triple M Brisbane.
These streets will make you feel brand new. Big lights will inspire you.
Sir.
Let's hear it for
He's
New
on holidays.
York.
He doesn't care.
Malcolm!
Hello to you, Mardo. Hello to you, Moonman, and of course you, Robin Bailey, and Ben Dickwood filling in for the young Brendo. Good on you. Good on you all. You're great constituents and terrific guys.
Well, you might be in New York, but the royal couple are in Sydney. How do you feel about that and the royal baby?
Well, I'm very excited for them. Of course, I am a Republican, but I had the pleasure of meeting Meghan and Harry before their wedding when I was, of course, still Prime Minister of Australia. You might remember Lucy's red pantsuit that she sported when we first met them in London. And I think they're a terrific couple. I'm excited about the royal baby. There's always space for a baby, as Lucy would say to me. And I quite enjoy the idea of it. I remember how exciting it was when Luce was pregnant with Daisy and Alex. And we'd go to the prenatal classes and watch that video of the birth, the French bird that wasn't big into waxing. She was pushing her child into the world.
Yes.
We've all had a look at that, haven't we? Maybe they should shoot a new one of those. featuring Meghan Markle. It'd be a ratings bonanza.
Okay, that's all right. So, listen, because you've left politics, you've left a big hole in the Wentworth.
And
the by-election's on this weekend. Mm. We've got Karen Phelps, the independent. Well, I won't go through them, but quite simply, this could end up in a hung parliament. That's what you've caused. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, I hope that there's absolute carnage for the Liberals in the seat there. I have nothing against their candidate who's running, but I hope that Phelpsy gets up, to tell you the truth, Marto.
Dr. Karen Phelps.
And I love Peter. I miss Peter. Who didn't love Stingers when it was on? Stingers, Sons and Daughters, his whole oeuvre, his back catalogue. He's terrific, Phelpsy.
That's got nothing to do with her.
Aren't they brother and sister?
Yes.
But I even so, that's got nothing to do with her.
Yeah, they're brother and sister. Well, I'm doing comedy material. It's not, not policy. I'm trying to write some jokes, Marto.
Oh, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir.
I'm not actually the Prime Minister, mate. Not anymore, anyway.
Shush, Malcolm.
So what have you been up to this week?
Well, just on the Wentworth by-election,
yes.
I wish they actually ran it like Wentworth the prison series. Oh. Dress them all in blue tracksuits and let them shiv one another to see who's the winner.
Who's going to be the freak then?
Yeah, they should have a steam press there where you can just burn somebody else's hand. You lagging bitch.
Do you want to tell us about your week or you had enough now?
Well, no, I can tell you about my week. Well, the trouble is I'm trying to go karting on the East River in New York, but there's always, you know, a corpse floating down there. Or
aeroplane land.
How long are you over there for? You know,
some toxic waste. It's quite a dirty place.
How long are you over in New York for?
Well, I'm just going to be in New York until people forget about me. Then Lucy and I will be jetting off to Italy, of course, to go to the place where they grow Sangiovese, to Toscana, for some Chianti Classico. So, yes, that's my agenda. And lovely talking to you.
Yes,
good
you
on
too.
You all.
Thanks.
I love being a part of the Big Breakfast. It rocks. Bye now.
We'll say hello to ScoMo from you.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man.
We were talking about the bloke that got bitten on the shoulder by the shark and how he had to make it. A long way. Where was he, Marto?
He was off Yeppoon, central Queensland, on a reef way out.
Well, I heard this shark story on Friday, just gone. I've got the privileged position of going to, you know, corporate entertainment as Malcolm Turnbull, and often if it's an awards night or a celebration or something like that, they'll have a keynote speaker. And the speaker at this particular lunch was Paul De Gelder. Now, that name might mean nothing to you, but in 2009, he was the Navy clearance diver that was in Sydney Harbour on a training exercise with some young trainees who was attacked by a bull shark.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he lose a leg?
And his arm.
Oh, gosh.
So his story was just so amazing. So he was actually a paratrooper for a while. He obviously wanted more excitement, so became a Navy clearance diver, the hardest job to get into outside the SAS.
What is clearance? Is that going along the bottom hulls of boats?
The hurt locker.
Yeah.
It's that underwater.
Underwater, righto.
Right. So your bomb disposal underwater, which
making
is just
sure no one's put a mine on the hull of your boat, the Navy boats. Yeah, righto.
Yeah. So anyway, he gets he's in the water. He gets hit by this shark, and he said, you know, he looks down and there's 36 teeth with the lips with the gums pulled back, and it's on his leg.
Oh,
so
yeah,
in his training, he goes, all right, grab it, push its eye in. So he goes to push its eye in and he realises that it's got his hand as well.
Ooh.
So he turns around and tries to get it, but with his other hand, it's out of reach.
Oh.
And this is the thing that fascinated me, because I wanted to know how many times he was bitten.
Yeah, but did it latch on like a dog? Or
that's right. They only bite once, yeah. And once they taste the blood and realise that you're prey, they start moving their head and it works like a saw.
Oh, youch.
And
wow.
It just sawed the back of his leg off. Like,
so they
to
don't
the bone.
Take back off and then go again.
No,
they
no,
just keep coming.
It's, as they move, it just saws and then a big chunk of you comes off.
Whoa.
So can they get through, can they cut through the bone? They can't.
Oh, yeah, they can.
They can.
Oh, my word,
so
they can.
So did he lose his leg because it got amputated by the shark?
No, he decided to have it amputated because he just wouldn't have any use for the leg. The leg just would never work again. So he had to have it amputated below the knee so he could get have a prosthetic. So what they did was folded up his calf and attached it to the back of where his thigh used to be.
Got a weird question from the crowd. Same side arm and leg?
Yeah, so they were trapped in together.
God.
Anyway, amazing story. He went on to then come back.
Didn't he go diving again at some stage?
He went surfing as soon as he could. Hey. He loves the water. And that was like, what are you thinking?
Hey, did he say anything about being in the Invictus? Is he in that Invictus Games or anything?
Well, he won't be in the Invictus Games, but he basically said the only way that he could get through it mentally and physically was start every day with PT. That was his training. You've got to get out of bed and do some physical training.
He's still really fit, yeah.
Yeah, hugely fit guy. So the thing that I want to know is, like, have you had a brush with a shark? You know, you don't have to be bitten by one.
Of our listeners would have caught them.
There's
mate,
so and many sharks out there.
I have a photo of my son catching a shark in Kenmore.
Oh, nice. What's that, a little bull shark?
Yeah, a little bull shark in one of the subsidiaries off the, what's the, off the main river, Brisbane River.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
So some of these sharks can take 3 hours, maybe longer, to land. It's quite fascinating. But then when you pull them in, I don't want to give too much away, but when they get them beached, they're helpless virtually. You can actually play around with them a bit.
I'd never heard of a bull shark, really, until recently, but apparently they are aggressive and dangerous, and this one was only 9 foot long. I say only, but not a huge shark.
They were in all the canals down the Gold Coast. They're everywhere, bull sharks.
Paul of Woodford, what have you seen? What was your encounter with a shark?
I used to work on Lindeman Island as a water sports instructor, and part of the job there was to take all the food scraps from the kitchen out every day.
Oh, my God.
They'd done it since 1939 into the shipping channel on the inside of the island. I used to go out in a 14-foot tinny with about 20-litre containers of the food scraps. You get up to 200 sharks around the boat.
What?
The biggest guys was a 16-foot tiger that would have been pretty much growing up with that, to the stage where he'd scrape down the side of the boat. You could pat him, you could scratch him, you could do everything.
As long as you kept feeding him.
Yeah, he'd go out the side of the boat then and wait for his food. There was also 3 12-foot tigers, and a few other islands did that as well, but no one really knew about it.
Paul, you're very rare that you get that up close to friendly tiger sharks. Would you say that the sharks up north are so well fed, and I'm not just talking about you, but also with all the fish on the reefs, are they safer?
I did a lot of spearfishing in my time as well, and the only time I had any dramas was white-tip reef sharks would always come and steal your fish.
Yeah,
They were only after the fish. They weren't after you. So the silly people who go spearfishing, the gun, stuff the fish down there,
in their bag,
wetsuit, and then go again or whatever. No, you just keep it away, climb in the boat, pull it out. But those tigers were to the stage. One funny story with them was I got so used to them and so good at scratching Terence the big tiger.
Terence? Yeah. Terry the tiger.
Yeah, he'd scrape down the side of the boat, go out the side. So then I decided, stuff you, I'll sit here and see what you do from there. He waited for a bit, scraped up one side of the boat, then scraped down the other side of the boat, then went out to the side again and waited. And I thought, I'll just sit here a bit longer. He went up to the motor, grabbed the motor, shook the shit out of the boat.
Oh,
at that stage, I sort of realised he's telling me, I'm going to throw you out of this boat if you don't give me my food. So I started dipping out real quick.
I bet you did. Thank you, Paul.
Great story.
Yeah, great story. Aaron's
the tiger.
Margie, Mount Nebo. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
What's your brush, Marg?
It's a little bit different. When I was younger, I worked on a fishing trawler up in the Gulf of Carpentaria, and we had a shark come up in the nets, and it was huge. It was like, it was more than 16 foot long.
Jeez.
And because I was the nimble one on the back deck, the skipper actually shot the poor thing in the head and then told me to tie a rope around its tail so we could winch her overboard.
Yeah.
I saw it flinch and I said to him, it ain't dead. And he, gruff old man that he was, told me to just shut my mouth, jump over and tie the tail. So I plucked up the courage, took the leap of faith, and as I was in midair, his tail came up and squatted me like a fly. Threw me back on the back deck, hit the gunnels and saw the stars for a few seconds.
Oh, Margie.
So what happened, Margie? Did he put another bullet in it or what did he do?
Yeah, he put another bullet in the poor thing. And, you know, I'm a bit of a pacifist. I had a hard time living with the fact that we'd killed such an old beauty. But I got payback a few days later. We were fishing for sharks with heavy anchor chain for weights off the back deck in Baku Shoals. And over I dropped the skipper called me and I lost concentration, turned around as I dropped the anchor and the big shark hook came up, flicked up and went through my wrist and came out the palm of my hand. And we were about, couldn't see land, hadn't seen land for about 2 days. And again, the skipper, gruff old man that he was, they pinned me down on the back deck, cut it with a pair of bolt cutters and pulled it through.
Oh, who would have thought? How many shark stories?
Such good
Margie's
ones,
got a
though.
Few others, I reckon.
Margie. Thanks, love.
Thanks, Margie. Call anytime.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
You've seen that crane that fell on that house?
Yes.
Oh, my
you
God.
You love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Jesus.
Oh, my God.
That did not go well.
That did not go well.
Correct.
What happened?
Was it lifting a pool?
It was a spa. So they had to go over. It was in a townhouse, okay, but they had to go over the house next door for access, et cetera. So the people next door were really lovely. Yeah, and they're the ones whose house the crane crushed when it fell over.
Oh, no.
There would have been
not the helpful neighbour.
The helpful neighbour who had a baby, was nursing a baby in the house when the crane fell over, like on the wheel. Oh, you've seen the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what. Well, this woman reckons she knows what happened.
The crane just kept coming down when the spotter was saying up, up, up.
Yeah, and then he kept lowering the spa bath down,
down,
down.
Up and down,
down
issue.
Well, it wasn't. Yes.
I reckon it's almost vital if you're a crane driver to know the difference between up and down.
Well, that comment is
they're
about,
your two things. They are your two things.
That comment's about as big a dur as this eyewitness.
The idea was to go over the top of this townhouse into this backyard and then trolley across to the concrete slab.
Yeah, we know what cranes do, love. Like, yeah, that's why
she
you get a crane.
She was trying to be helpful.
Yeah, okay. So, poor people. And that's why the good thing is no one was injured. All right. Great. Apart from, did you see how the crane, the wheels were actually at 90 degrees, not on the ground where they're supposed to be. They were up. They had Simon was his name, and he was in his mid-40s, okay. His mate had to get a ladder, okay, to rescue him. I know you're a crane operator being rescued, and that's what happens. No one was injured. I need to stress
so
that.
So whose fault was it? Was it the driver? Like, do you not know your crane capacity?
I think gravity's fault.
You have back counterbalances, obviously, because you're reaching out.
Yeah.
So you need a counterbalance back here, and Simon didn't have that turn on. The funniest thing I saw at the end, though.
Okay.
All right, you'd think it might be one of Simon's workmates would have commented, or maybe even the boss of the crane company. No, if someone's rung Simon's mum, he's in his mid-40s, okay. Simon's mum was made to front the media.
Stuck inside the cabin, his mate rescued him using a ladder while his worried family rushed to the scene.
He's just in too much shock. Yeah, he's terribly upset and in shock.
That's his mum. That's his mum reporting from the scene. Mm. All right, let's let
Simon's
it go.
A very sensitive boy and he's in shock because he's dropped the spa on somebody's house.
Simon's a crane driver, his mid-40s, living at mum and dad's, isn't he?
Well, maybe.
Anyway, all right, let's let that go and just turn our attention to everyone else's work sites. When has something tipped over at work? It's always beauty. No one getting hurt here.
Do you know, I got onto my Bobcat for the first time working for Basie Drainage.
Yes.
And they gave me the instructions and said, all you need to do is take those screenings from over there and put them over there. Okay. And I...
Was that your proper training, was it? Was that it?
I spun it around and gored the side of a factory. Opened it up like a tin of beans, yeah.
Did they get you off the Bobcat?
Did you go
home?
Said, yeah, they said, get off it, mate.
Did you go home?
No.
Chris from Redcliffe, hello.
Yeah, g'day, how you going?
Good, what tipped over at work?
30-tonne excavator down a 12-metre trench.
Whoa, that's hard to get out.
Give us some details on how that day went.
Right out the front of a panel beater at Strathpine.
Yeah, tell us details.
Well, so he was online, so he had his tracks either side of the trench, and he's gone to go offline, so when he's put his bucket down and, like, swiveled the machine around to drive off, he wasn't off far enough, and the thing's gone down sideways down the trench.
Was he in it?
Yeah.
And what happened? Did they get him? How do you get that out?
Oh, you smash the window and grab him and pull him out.
And then you get a big crane and you
haul. And then you get a big, that's it, you get a big crane to lift the 30-ton excavator out.
Gonna need a big crane.
Then you call his mum, like Simon.
Absolutely.
Oh, Simon.
Hello, Alan of Alcester.
Yes, when I was 16, I worked for a stonemason company and occasionally we'd go out to the cemeteries and put the graves in.
Oh, yeah.
And they got me to help them one day and I was pushing a full wheelbarrow in between these planks in the rain.
Oh, no.
And I toppled over on someone's grave.
Oh.
Full wheelbarrow. Oh. I spent the day cleaning that up and the other guys did the job.
You didn't take out the headstone, you just covered it in cement.
No, just tipped it over with cement.
Yeah. Well done, Al.
Yeah, good day at work.
That's great.
Okay.
Dave of Caboolture, what tipped over at work?
Yeah, he's going, guys.
Yeah, good,
sir. Good. What happened?
Oh, I had a tip truck full of concrete and I was backing it up and tipping it in the hole and the side of the hole gave away and the tip truck went in the hole.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this too good.
So you must see things like that crane falling over and go, I know what he's going through?
Exactly. I had to get a crane to get the tip truck out.
Oh, how embarrassment.
Was the tip truck drivable again?
Yeah, the tip truck fixed up all right. The only condition with the crane was they had to be there before 2, before the boys go back from work, so they couldn't see it.
Okay. But you're talking about the concrete didn't start going off in the back of your truck, did it?
No, it was all hard concrete. I was tipping it in the hole, and then the hole fell in, so we were still able to get the back of the truck and get the concrete out of an excavator and then a crane to pull the truck back out of the hole.
How much does it cost to get a crane to pull a truck out of a hole?
Like, way too much.
Some cranes are 1,000 an hour, aren't they, Dave? Would that be right?
You're about on the money, yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's expensive to pull things out of
the
hole. We're going to give everyone, including you, Dave, a CD to listen to while you're driving your tip truck into holes next time.
Yeah,
the Triple M
awesome.
Ultimate Aussie Barbecue soundtrack. It's out now for Oztober. It's a double album of nothing but great Aussie rock. So enjoy that, mate. This is The Big Breakfast on Triple M.
The Big Breakfast with Mardo, Robin and the Moon Man.
Hey, let's talk fuel. There's not many of us get away from a servo with under $100 costing $100 at the Bowser. So let's talk again about it because we can talk about it or we can actually try to do something like Sabrina Lamont, who was on Triple M a little bit earlier this morning. Now, she's the one who started this October 26th as the boycott the fuel stations. All right? Everyone clear on that? October 26th.
We've talked about it a couple of times.
Don't go to the fuel station. So this is what she's had to say. We'll probably get her on next week, you know, on our breakfast show before it happens. But let's get behind this because she is doing a good job.
Well, on the 26th of October, Australia, we'd like everybody to stop as a nation and not buy petrol or enter a service station because they do make a lot of money out of their product as well.
Oh, that's how it started. She got 152,000 hits and then went, oh, this looks pretty good. So a lot of people getting behind her and it is national, but the problem when you think about it, it's one of our only chances to have a vote. We go, well, no one's listening to us. We can't do anything. This day, October 26th, will be like a referendum for us. Okay, it is a chance for us to say, government doesn't listen to us, business doesn't listen to us, so we can vote with our very big wallets. We have an opportunity to take money away from them, and if you do that, 1/7 of their income will be gone, and they'll go, oh, 14% hit. Oh, we better not do that. Because eventually we might start doing it once a week. We might start doing it once a month. I don't know.
So are we talking about boycotting every service station or just the big ones?
No, I think it's the big ones that hold the monopoly.
Well, there was somebody rang earlier as well, just talking about the little independents, because these are mums and dads who own their own servos.
The poor little fellow that's got a United or a independent service station, it's true what you say. He's making a cent or two. The fuel brings the customers in to buy the lollies and everything else, and the bloke that fuels up and then nicks off, you know, it takes him a week to recover from that.
Is everyone clear? The independents make no money, okay? But on the big servos, they're making money on their fuel. Plus, that's a supermarket you are entering, and they know that all of us are grazers these days. We don't just go to their arm of the supermarket, whatever it is. We're spending a lot
money
of money other than fuel. They're trying to get us in. That's what this day is about. Is everyone, you guys, clear on it? I think everyone's pretty clear on it. Go to the independents on that day, but boycott the big fellas.
So let me just be very clear who the independents are. There are three main operators within Brisbane, and they are Puma, and there's heaps of them. Wilston, Dutton, Parker, The Grange, Clayfield, Morningside. If you've got a Puma near you, you'll know exactly what it is. The other one, and in fact, Puma, There's hundreds of them. Well, not hundreds, but there's a lot. Matilda is the other one. Matilda in Zilmia. There's a couple of those. Matilda at Capalabar. And then the third option, which is the Independents, is United. And that's Sherwood, Archfield, Coopers, Logan Lee, Crestmead, Parkridge. Right. And again, they're all over the place as well.
There's
so
Freedom,
the
Freedom Fuels as well.
And Liberty? Is Liberty still around the place?
I haven't seen a Liberty.
All right. Well, that's what. Well, let's get behind this. But next week, we'll pump it up even more. But if they start getting hit in the back pocket, these big guys, they'll go, oh, and the government will go, oh, we could get booted out of government because we all know that's all they really care about.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Let's talk about alcohol labelling. How long has cigarette labels been on? You know, the warnings that have said. It's been, what, 20 years?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, do you reckon 20 years? I mean, labelled, you know, it's a health hazard, but when did the pictures start, do you reckon?
I was in my 20s. I reckon it would be. I'll Google that in a sec.
Have I told you the quick one? The makeup girl at Fox Sports. Or two of them do them, actually. One of them did the toe. You know, the...
What do you mean she did the toe?
It was her toe. She did the... They're not real. You know that. That's just she did the makeup to make it look like it was a munted toe.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know...
And another girl did the... Was there an arm or something like that?
Yeah. There's a big fat foot on there that says, you know, if you smoke, you'll go gangrenous.
That's the one. She did
enough.
That one.
Yeah, but smoking doesn't make your toenails long or your heels crack. Get a pedicure, mate. Just
stop
sort your foot
thongs.
Out. Yeah, and doesn't make your foot fat either, your munter.
What about those teeth? You know the guy with the teeth, the bad teeth?
Yeah.
They're not real either. That's a makeup artist did those too.
Why didn't we find some smoker? To me. I thought that they were actual pictures. And anyway, the reason why we're
didn't
talking...
Didn't Barry die of AIDS not smoking?
Yeah. There was trouble about that too. Are they talking about doing it on alcohol, did you say?
Yes. This is the headline that's been going around.
Bottles of alcohol will have to carry a pregnancy warning label after ministers move to make the labels mandatory.
Okay, so they're starting with pregnant women because basically 50% of pregnant women are still drinking and they're saying that...
What?
Yeah. Like, hang on, have a listen to this.
50%.
Have a listen to this.
Surveys show almost half Australian women consume alcohol while pregnant. Experts say that safe level of alcohol consumption doesn't really exist, and during pregnancy, women who consume alcohol place their child at risk of a form of brain damage that causes learning and behavioural problems.
Not even one.
And, you know, fetal alcohol syndrome.
It's terrible.
But isn't that a lot of, one drink
but
is going
what they
hurt
should
them,
do, not only put warnings on to, you know, warn pregnant women of the dangers of drinking, but also to warn the rest of us, they should put on very ugly photos of men and women and just go, if you drink this, you will sleep with this person.
What about Captain Morgan with a really big gut and a missing arm and things like that? Yeah. Like, they just should do them all. Like the Bundy Bear, he looks too attractive. Ugly animals.
On Captain Morgan's, they just got a bloke alone in his flat. With a nudie calendar over his bed, it's like, you're going to be lonely if you drink too much of this.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.